Good to see everybody we have out with us today, and we just praise God for your presence here. This morning, we have the Thanksgiving week coming up, and Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of all the holidays that we have in our society. I think it's the best one, spiritually speaking and scripturally speaking, that we have. It's really a time to be thankful. And we should always be thankful. We should always be thankful for what God has given us. He's given us something that relieves tension. If we use it properly, we can ease our tensions and problems of life. He's given us something that can help us to solve our problems. It'll solve those problems if we use it and allow it to do so. He's given us something that will take us through the times of troubles and trials, and we need to use it to its fullest, and that's prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest things that God has given us as Christians, other than eternal life. It can relieve the problems that we can't solve. It can help us with those things. It strengthens your faith in God. It gives us comfort through our daily trials. Problems. So this morning we want to think about some things about prayer. As we want to think about these things, we want you to realize the great power that is in prayer. The power of God is ours through prayer. We pray to a true God. We'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 45. We don't pray to a God that cannot hear. We don't pray to a God that cannot answer. We don't pray to a God that cannot save. We pray to the true God. Isaiah 45, verse 20, says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped to the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near ye. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other." There's no other God but Him. Verse 23, "I have sworn by myself, the word that shall come out of my mouth in righteousness shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory." You know, he's proclaimed it, that he's God, from old, from everlasting. As you look back at all the great miracles that God has performed, and all the times he's answered men's prayers, we look back at Abraham, and we see Abraham walking with God, and God blessing Abraham. You look at even at time with Lot and his family, how God blessed them because of Abraham's prayers. And then we can see the great miracles that God performed in Israel and how he delivered his people through a powerful hand. And we looked in at how he answered the prayers of Gideon and Jephthah, and how God has delivered them. And so we see that God can save and will save and does save. We see how he answered the prayers of Daniel and delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. He answered the prayers for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and delivered them out of the fire. God is able, and he hears our prayers. And when we pray, we want to pray for others. We don't want to just pray selfish prayers, always asking for what we need or what we want or our petty desires. We want to pray for others, even to our enemies. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin reading here, verse 43. You have heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. So we need to pray even for our enemies, even for those that would be against us. And you want to know what we can do best for our society, for our country and our nation, and the things that are going, and some things that are happening to us. We wonder where we're going and the bad situation the economy seems to be in. We need to pray. God is able to deliver all that and change all that. What we need to do is to pray, even for those that hate us, that persecute us, those that would do ill toward us. They need our prayers. We need to pray and realize how much it does. Prayer is very, very powerful in changing men's hearts and changing situations of life. Pray for the weak in Christ. Pray for those that ask interest in our prayers. And we'll pray. We need to pray with the right attitude, with the right way and manner in which we come before God. You know, not to be seen of men, not for vain repetitions. You know, not just going over and over a set of words that somebody's given us or wrote down in a book for us to pray. We need to pray from our hearts with an humble attitude toward God. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, adulterers and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So when we come before God, we need to humble our hearts and humble ourselves. Realize we're all sinners. And none of us can be lifted up and say we are worthy of this or that. It's only by God's grace and love and mercy that we have what we have. And when we come before him, we really need to come with humble hearts and thanksgiving. Giving thanks and praising God for the blessings he has blessed us with. We can all find something to be thankful about if we be honest about it and look about in this world. Look over in Psalms chapter 95, verse 2, 1 through 2. And Psalms, we have so much to be thankful for. And we wonder sometimes, where do our fears come from? Why are we fearful about things? A lot of it comes from watching television and the things they tell us on the news. They tell us everything's bad. We really need to be afraid. God says, tells us not to be afraid, but to trust in him. Psalms 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. When we come before God, whether it be in songs or in prayers, we need to come before him with thanksgiving. First of all, giving thanks for the many wonderful things he blessed us with. Before we present our supplication, we need to praise him and thank him for the life he's given us and the good things in life that we have, and for the good hope and salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Well, we could do verse 4 also, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That way, Moderation, that means you're not an extremist, you're not worried about things. Be careful for nothing. He says, let's talk about the same thing again, not to worry. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, when we come to Him with thanksgiving and we turn over our prayers to Him, then there's peace, because we don't have to worry about these things. It's in God's hands. We don't have to wring our hands and be worried and be in fear and to be anxious and have all this tension and all these problems. It's in God's hands. Don't worry about it. Relax, and the Lord can take care of it. Turn it over to Him. He says, come before Him with thanksgiving, with all your supplications, and let them all be known, and then let God's peace fill your hearts. Jesus gave us an example about how we should pray. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and look at what Christ said about this. In Matthew chapter 6, He gives us an example here about things to pray and how to go about our prayer and what we should be interested in our own selfish ways. In Matthew chapter 6, we begin reading here with verse number 9. It says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first thing you see Jesus is talking about there is glorifying God. Our Father in heaven, how hallowed and precious and great is your name. And we ask, Lord, that things would be done on heaven and on earth as they are in heaven, that things of your will would be done. And then He says, give us this day our daily bread. We ask for food. Give us this day our daily bread. And then He says, now forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So that's one of the greater things that we should pray for. When we pray, we need to pray that we would not sin, and pray that if we do sin, then we will be forgiven of it, that we can get forgiveness. And He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we pray, we need to pray that we don't sin, that we be led away from sin, that God will protect us from the evil that will cause us to fall into sin. When we pray, as this prayer was here was given before the kingdom was come. This prayer was given before Christ died upon the cross. And so today we might pray that the kingdom would come to other men, that people would be entering the kingdom, but we don't pray that the kingdom come on earth, because it's here today. The kingdom has come. But when we pray, we need to pray that the kingdom with others would come and be added to the kingdom. And when we need to pray through Jesus Christ. We pray to God through Jesus Christ. We are not praying to Christ. We're not praying to somebody, some saint that's passed away, somebody that's died. We're not praying to the Mary Mother or through the Mary Mother, but we pray to the Father as Jesus prayed to the Father, and we pray through Christ. I want you to turn with me over to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we see the example of Apostle Paul and his prayer. In Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 5. He says, by whom, speaking about Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I must have wrote the wrong verse down here. No, it's right. Okay. Let me start back up with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he has promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you all called of Jesus Christ. to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So you see, when he starts to thank God, he does it through Jesus Christ. And he talks about in verse 9, he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers, always in my prayers." And so when he prayed to the Father through Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3. He says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So when we go to God in prayer, and we're thanking him for the many things we pray through Christ, by him and through him, that's how our prayers are to be made. We pray to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we reach the Father, by him. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but through me." And you know, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come but through him." So he is the only way. And so we go through Christ with our prayers to the Father. That's part of what's being taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to notice, we'll start reading in verse 1. "Be ye thoughts of me as even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." So we don't cover Christ and bypass him when we pray. We pray through Christ to the Father. "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head covered dishonors her head, for it, that is even all one as if she was shaven. So the woman, when she prays, she bypasses her head is covered, and she prays directly to the Father. And the hair, it goes on to talk about hair given as the covering. And it's a symbol of that covering that's given there. How that she bypasses the man and prays directly to the Father through Christ. So when we all pray, we pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we need to believe that our prayers will be answered, even if the answer is no. Sometimes God's answer is no. But when we pray, we have to have faith in what we're praying, or else our prayers will not do us any good. And we need to believe that we will receive the things that we're asking for. And we certainly need to believe that God is able to do what we ask him to do. He is able to do everything that he's asked us to do. Well, where and when to pray? Well, we need to pray. Pray everywhere. We need to pray everywhere and pray without ceasing. The Jews, they will pray, they face the temple. But look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. But today we pray everywhere. We don't have to be in the church. We don't have to be facing a certain way. We pray everywhere. He says in 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time." So he goes on, he says, "Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." And so we are to pray everywhere And he says, in like manner also. So he's talking about the women are also to do likewise. And he's talking about how they're supposed to adorn themselves and so on. But we are likewise to pray. He would have us pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands and without doubting. And so we would pray in church assemblies. We would pray riding in our car. We should pray in our bedrooms, in our homes. We should pray when we sit down to eat our meals and give thanks. You know, a child that grows up in a home where prayer is said is more likely to use prayer in his own personal life. And we need to teach our children to pray. And in the days when we face trouble, we need to pray to find relief. That we can turn to God. In times of strife and conflict, we can turn to prayer and receive relief from the tensions of our daily life. To overcome the troubles and problems and to gain knowledge and understanding. There are many times that all we can do is pray. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about the situation. And what we really need to do is to pray to God and turn it over to Him. Let Him handle it. You know, we visit the hospitals and we visit the sick. We need to pray for them. We can pray inside and outside and in crowds and in school and not in school. You know, people can't stop you from praying because your prayers can go forth right out of your own mind. God knows even your thoughts of your heart. They cannot stop you from praying or mumbling words or whatever between you and God. Don't forget to pray and to be thankful. Don't forget to be thankful when your prayers are answered. When God answers a prayer and you realize He's answered it, whether the answer be no or yes, you thank God for His great mercy and His love and great understanding because He knows. He knows our needs better than we know what to say. So if you're worried, pray. If you're angry, pray about that. Pray. If you're hurt physically or emotionally, pray. If someone hurts you, pray for them. If you hurt someone else, pray that he will have forgiveness. If you're lonely, pray. If you're lost, pray. If you can't do for someone what's needed, just pray for them. Whatever the reason, pray. And if you pray, believe in your heart that you will receive. Trust in your heart that you will receive an answer. Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We start reading here in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When we come before God for prayer, we need to believe and what's happening, and that God can answer our prayers. Even sometimes God answers our prayers when our prayers are not for us, when they are not really the best thing for us. He answers them because we're persistent in asking over and over and again. I want to turn to Luke chapter 11. We'll start reading here with verse 2. And it is said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we also forgive everyone that indebted to us or sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That word importunity there means persistence. You know, he kept knocking. He kept asking. He kept knocking. So because of his persistence, his friend went out and gave it to him. In verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so, if you ask, you see, ask God to hear your prayers and to answer your prayers. As being a child of His, He'll hear. He'll hear and answer because of our persistence sometimes. Look at John chapter 14, verse 14. It's a marvelous statement that Jesus says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And so we have this promise from God that, you know, we ask in faith, we ask in the Spirit, being his children, not being aliens, not being outside the faith in Christ, but being in Christ. He hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. And so now we turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we learn something here about our prayers, because often we don't know how what to say. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we don't pray as we should, we pray for the wrong things, but the Spirit makes intercession for us according to God's will in the way that it should be. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good them that love God, to them who call according to his purpose. That's my lesson for you this morning. I hope it's helpful to you and your prayer life, and as you come before God seeking his assistance. There is a great power there that can help us in all our endeavors and all our troubles. The power of prayer. And I know that oftentimes we don't pray as we should. We don't pray as often as we should. Sometimes I find myself struggling against things and struggling with things, and then I stop and think, well, why don't you just pray? And we'd have a greater power from God if we just pray. If you're here today and you're subject to the gospel call, maybe you need the prayers of the church, or perhaps you need to obey the gospel. Whatever the case might be, we give this opportunity to let it be known as we stand and sing the song, Prince Elector.